Building small homes to address the housing crisis is an innovative way to approach a very dynamic problem. Cultivating strong partnerships within the community only empowers those working to bring such solutions to life. And indeed, they do. Hey, everybody, I'm Gina Murphy Darling, and this is Down to Earth Tucson. You'll want to stay with me to learn about how Habitat for Humanity is approaching the challenges surrounding growing affordable housing by building new models to meet the growing demands through creative, innovative partnerships. And everybody, this really is one. It's like I get excited about learning and growing, and I think I know everything about Habitat for Humanity. And then they recommend our guest to be on the show. And I'm like, holy smokes, I didn't know they were doing that. I find myself very excited about the show, our guest, and about what she has to share with us. And affordable housing really and truly is a national crisis and issue. And I always feel grateful that I get to learn from and then spread the word about people and organizations focused on real, sustainable, and substantive solutions. And that's what this show is going to be about. Our guest embodies that person. Please join me in welcoming Carmen Cueva. Carmen is a full-time faculty at Pima Community College's downtown campus. And Carmen, I'm a proud alum. I took every class I possibly could at Pima before I went to the U of A. Working in computer-aided design, which I had to stop and think about that, and we're going to learn about that, known in the industry as CAD. And I kid you not, if I shared with you, everybody out there, all of her accomplishment, it would take up a big part of the show. So I encourage you to read all about her on our show webpage when we have it up. But I want to connect some dots relative to her role with Habitat. She is currently a board member for Habitat for Humanity Tucson and has served and chaired, I know this to be true, their Home and Community Design Committee since 2006. She's a hanger-on, Carmen, just like I am. Once I get on a board, and if I love it, it's like, okay, you're never getting me off. Do you have a three-year extension? So Carmen has championed service learning opportunities for CAD, welding, landscape technician, and building construction technology students through design competitions, build days, and construction projects in partnership with this great organization. So Carmen, thanks so much for being here. I know you're a very busy person, and I don't always get a chance to thank people I admire and respect. So thank you for your significant and continuing contributions to Habitat for Humanity, Tucson. You are truly a giver.
Oh, thank you. And thanks for having me on the show. I'm excited to talk about the wonderful things that's happening in our community and the work our students are participating in.
And I'm excited for you to share it. And what we're basically going to be talking about are the possibilities of 900 square feet. And I think that is very clever. And I think it's very true. So can you just articulate a little bit on what that even means? And how do those possibilities help address the housing crisis?
Sure. So there's a lot of possibility in 900 square feet. In the context of our project, of what we've been working on, 900 square feet represents the opportunity for students to work on a small project that's manageable, that contextualizes their technical skills that they're acquiring and developing. This is a project that students both in computer-aided design are designing and then building construction technology students are building. And so it's bringing a lot of possibility to individuals as they are gaining their education. They are growing within our workforce as a community. There's a lot of demand and need for their skills, and we're helping bridge that gap. But the 900 square feet also gives us a lot of flexibility from Habitat as an organization to serve more people. So our mission is not just to provide shelter, but it is to build community. And so we often get misunderstood from that standpoint that we're not a production home builder. Our mission is not to push out a bunch of houses. Our mission is to build community. That's why we build with people. We invite people to join in and contribute whatever skills they have. And so we are widening our reach when it comes to having people participate. And it's really interesting as we see these students then become advocates in the community, have a greater understanding of housing needs and have more compassion and advocate for helping one another. And so there's that component of community, but it also helps us broaden our reach, provide more possibilities in our community, because we have inner city neighborhoods. Well, not quite inner city, but we have older parts of our community that have all of the services and infrastructure to support community, to support you know, people who live their lives, and those neighborhoods have space for additional housing. And being able to tap into that with infill housing can serve in so many ways, so many people. So it can help people as an extra source of income. It can help people as an affordable place to live. It can help people by tapping into the transportation systems. It can provide access to jobs. It can provide access to grocery stores in so many different ways. 900 square feet also can be much more manageable from a standpoint of paying for utilities, paying for, you know, all of those aspects of costs. And so if it's additional income, some people could maybe stay in their house a little bit longer. Sometimes maybe it's the possibility of having someone come live kind of in more of a supportive situation where, you know, it could be a veteran, or it could be an aging parent, or it could be an up-and-coming family that's just starting. And being able to put people closer together in that sense, in a supportive context, is also a possibility. So, and then it could also just be a possibility of, from an emergency housing standpoint, we probably should talk about this project from the context of building construction technology students, building it more of a flat pack home, and the idea that it could be partially built on campus and then stored and then deployed quickly should it be needed. And so it could also serve from that standpoint. There's just so many possibilities with what we can do with 900 square feet. It could also be, you know, an artist studio. It could be, I don't know, there's just so much we can do with it that could support our community in so many different ways.
And for this partnership, part of what excited me that you touched on is there's really a huge difference between classroom learning and applied learning. And we're going to get into that a little bit more. But I really thought a lot about it and integrating the thought around, so you have students. And I would love for you to talk about some of the things that they get to do when it comes to actual, you know, competitions you've set up and whatever. And anybody who's ever been on a home build, and I've been on many, you go and it's exciting and it's a community. It's very clear from the get-go, it's a community. They're doing now to incorporate common spaces. And, you know, in the sustainability world, the environmental justice world in which I live, work, breathe, eat, sleep, what's going to really help communities survive in the weeks and months and years to come, given the ongoing, you know, clear and present danger of climate change, is community. Neighbors knowing each other, neighbors helping each other, neighbors sharing resources. So that's one of the things I thought about. And the other thing, Carmen, is that when Habitat comes to a community, there's a ripple effect. Other houses start looking better. They become safer, And there is a whole, you know, I love their brush with kindness, where they go into neighborhoods where it might be someone elderly or disabled or handicapped or whatever, and help, you know, spiff up their helms, for lack of a better word. But I want to go a little bit more into, you know, we acknowledge that it provides more stability and strength for our whole community, because homelessness Absolutely. Plagues everybody. So it's safe, it's decent, it's affordable. But I want to go a little bit more into the weeds about, you did a home competition. And tell us mm-hmm. about that, because that creates excitement with students. And then before, I really don't want to talk anymore, but I want to say, these students are learning about the people for which they are helping to build a home. So there's a whole ripple effect and integrated effect. So tell us about how you did the competition. It excites me. It sparks joy.
Oh, okay. The competition has been amazing from a motivational standpoint. I mean, how many people go through these exercises as part of an educational process to develop their skills? And most of that gets sort of tossed out at the end of the school year. And in this case, it doesn't. And so right there, the fact that these people are working on something that matters to somebody else motivates them in such a meaningful way to do a good job. When we start this, so this competition was set up as part of a class. There's one class that does construction documentation for residential buildings, and they go through the process of putting together a very small 13-page set that designs a house. And so we have the Home and Community Design Committee is a group of professionals, volunteers, and staff that provides recommendations to the organization based on our expertise about how we can do better when it comes to home and community design. And so this group of amazing individuals, I am so grateful to them. We come together every month and we take a look at a number of different issues. But as we were trying to plan out the next few years, we realized that we needed another source of home designs to move us into these new subdivisions. And so what we ended up doing was, I said, hey, you know, I have this class, the students are already doing it, but it's sort of a fake project. They just go through the motions. We have this need. Why not motivate them? And so now we brought these two entities together. We've got these professional individuals that have amazing recommendations working with these students that are up and coming. There's this beautiful exchange between them. The committee comes and meets with them once during the middle of the semester, and then at the end during presentations. In the middle of the semester, we've been doing the award ceremony for the semester before. So those students from the semester before have been attending and providing some continuity and mentorship to them, to the current class of students. And like I said, there's just this wonderful exchange. And every time I start this competition with the students, I just take a moment to think about, you know, what role does your home play in your life?
Right.
Every single person in this room, what role does a home play in your life?
Yes.
And you have to think about how, you know, especially right now during COVID-19, like, and even before this, like, there is something so important. I'm very passionate about housing. Your home is where you are most vulnerable. It is where you celebrate life milestones. It becomes this backdrop, this container, this vessel for life, for all that is precious and good. This is the place that you bring your first child home to. This is the place that you seek refuge, you know, when you need to recover from something. This is where you grow and you learn and you it's your cocoon. It's such an important part in everyone's life. It's part of humanity to feel safe, to feel comforted, to feel your best, so that you can get a good night's rest and you can wake up and you can contribute to our community. I think about one particular family that, I mean, there's a nostalgic component to housing when you first move into a neighborhood, and this idea that your neighbors are going to come over with a welcome basket, and they're so happy you're there, you know, and you're so excited to be. I mean, purchasing a home is a big deal, right? And so you're already super excited. Your house is a mess. It's full of boxes, but you're super excited to be there. And there's this positive exchange between you and your neighbors, hopefully. And it's sort of this initiation or this welcoming. And so what's really interesting about Habitat is that the homeowners on many of our projects, it's like a whole street worth, they're all moving in within a year from one another.
Right.
But they've known each other for a whole year before that. They've been developing this relationship and community. They've been building each other's homes. You know, when do you move into a neighborhood that you've already invested a year of your life, that you've already provided emotional support to, that you've already like championed and celebrated and fought, you know, personal battles with, you know, like just to get to this point of achievement, right? And so it's a big deal for our homeowners, and it's and having students recognize that the decisions they make set the tone for the rest of this person's life, for 30 years of a mortgage. Not that our mortgages are that long, but you know, people stay in their homes for a good number of years, and especially Habitat homeowners, they stay longer than the average family. They're committed to this product much longer than most people. And so, like, empowering our students to understand, where are you putting that restroom or the bathroom? Where are you putting their bedroom? What are they looking at when they're washing dishes? You know, what do they see when they walk in the door? What are they welcomed by? You know, how do they, what public face do they have in the community? Their front door, what does it look like? Is their front door hidden, or are they out there participating in community? And so having that conversation with students not only actually makes them recognize what their front door, their own front door looks like, but thinking about how, you know, in our work, in everything that we do, it doesn't matter who you are, if you are contributing every day through your job, you are doing something that affects other people. And so there was one family that I was starting to talk about that this man was acting as a crosswalk. That's his job at one of my kids' school. And I would see him every morning, and he had the brightest smile, and he'd always say good morning, right? And here I am trying to raise my children to be polite, contributing members of society, and also saying good morning to people, right? And so And they're young, so I'm like, okay, say good morning. We say good morning every day. And so they walk past the cross guard, and they're like, good morning. And one day I found out that that he's a Habitat family.
You're kidding
and
me.
And he was about to move into a house, right?
You're kidding me.
So, no, we're all interconnected. And so now all these families that we are housing through what we think might be, you know, just going through the motions of our job, of our daily routine of, you know, I got to make a decision about how this door swings. Those decisions add up, and they are providing this man and his family. And he stopped me one day when he found out how I was connected to Habitat. And he said, you have no idea what this means to me and my family. He has grown children. I'm not sure if he had grandchildren, but he's like, we have roots now. And we can now we have something to offer our children and our children's children. We have a place for our family to gather. We have something to give beyond, you know, the everyday. And it was so powerful. And so hear it, I'm just doing my thing and he's doing his thing, but his thing is helping raise my children in an indirect way.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And so when I think about affordable housing and think about all these people in our community that, you know, all one good night's sleep, one good sleep makes all the difference. You know, everyone knows this for your personal life, just one day, you can get one good night's rest, then the next day you can give so much more. And so for all these people who have unsafe housing that are so worried, especially now in COVID, they are isolated. There's this sense of instability, this fear. None of us can work at our best in that context. None of us can show up with a smile on our face and say good morning and mean it unless we have stability in our own life. If you didn't have a good place to sleep last night, you can't show up the next day and give. And so if you think about all the teachers that teach our kids every day, if you think about all the people make sure that you have food on the shelves in the grocery store, it matters that they got a good night's rest. They can do a better job to serve you, to serve each other, to be a stable community, to have strength in numbers. We're all interconnected. And so the competition is an opportunity to have that conversation. And it dispels all these ideas about what affordable housing is. It dispels this notion that like, oh, you know, these people are just, they're not going to take it. They're going to take it for granted. They're going to destroy it. You know, they don't know how to change. No. These are the people that teach your kids. These are the people that care for you in hospice. This is the people that work for you indirectly. You just, you haven't made connections yet. And so now all our students, as they go through, they have a much better awareness of this social justice issue in our community. And it's really neat to see them become advocates. And they don't just then contribute to Habitat. They find their own passion. They find, you know, maybe housing isn't it, but they start to like look at other nonprofits, or they start to look at other issues that we as a community are challenged by, and they begin to step into those roles, which is building capacity. And that's really important for our community.
And there's a couple of things that struck me while listening to you. When this happened, I started calling around to our partners when COVID-19 and the shelter in place and people losing their jobs. I called T. Van Hook, who's their fearless mm-hmm. leader. And she was telling me all of the things they were doing to help make sure, because these people pay a mortgage. They pay a mortgage based on their income. Mm-hmm. So they have, it's not a freebie. They don't get a house. There's so much responsibility mm-mm. on their part that it's, you know, I love one of the quotes I think that Laura from Habitat sent me. You know, they don't open doors for people. They help people open their own doors, which is the whole end game, if you ask me. And T mm-hmm. was like crazed, working hard with her whole team to get, you know, PPP and to get relief for her clients. It's a whole community that responded to make sure that they were safe and that they were going to be able to be in their homes and that there would be some mortgage relief. And you just don't see that. And another thing that I thought about while you were talking is, and I say this a lot on the show, you know, it's about the rising tide. It just raises all ships. Yes. And we are part of a community. And every person that's stronger makes our community stronger. The more stability there is, the more self-reliance there is, the more education there is. And I was in social services for many, many years. And kids having to change schools all the time because all the parents had, and typically it was a single mom, was to be able to rent a motel room till, you know, X amount of money ran out. And if kids have a place to go home to, they can learn better. Like you said, they can get a good night's sleep. Mm-hmm. They can eat. Usually that means they can afford food. They have a place to do their homework that's not filled mm-hmm. with fear. So to me, when I say this is like integrated, it's the whole enchilada, as I call it, the whole green enchilada. And the point that I want to come from is by supporting these efforts, we all win. Because guess what, folks? Those people are taxpayers. Their kids mm-hmm. are getting good education, which helps all of us because we have a better educated community. So this mm-hmm. whole home building thing, and for companies, like I do a home build with the Chapman Automotive Group every year, it's team building. We do it all the time. They had me calling this week to talk to Habitat about what we're going to do for Brush with Kindness and the home build and the home build in the fall. So it creates capacity building outside of the Habitat community into the greater community. So that's, you know, that's unbelievable. Let's go back to just a little bit to all of the skills, this applied learning thing. It's like I feel like nursing school is one thing, working on the floor in the hospital is a whole nother deal because you can't predict every situation. So do the students talk about what it's like to actually be able to be involved in the building of a home and their different skills? And then does it help them with getting jobs because they actually have some experience when they get out of Pima?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So in many ways, not only does it give them more experience, it makes their educational experience richer and therefore more meaningful. And so, you know, we all know what it feels like to sort of go through the motions when you are learning mathematics, for example, and you're asked to do a series of summations. You just kind of go through the motions and you do it. But it's not until you have to do the math to see if you have enough money to buy the thing you want that you actually pay attention to whether or not
got it.
You know how to do math, right?
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Then you're motivated. And so I think that that's the same case here. So specifically for the construction documentation course, these students were doing the drawings anyway, but now they are trying to figure things out based on what they want to give the homeowner. And so we do these build days, which are really meaningful, and invite all these students from all these different trades to come out and build with us on a Saturday. And we bring in the administrators and the faculty and staff, and it's really lovely. But some of these students, it's the first time they've been on a construction site.
Wow.
So they're drawing, foundation details, they're drawing building trusses. They've never seen a building truss in their life. And they go out there. And the instructor for the course, Steve Grady, he goes and walks. When we take one of those breaks, one of the building breaks, he takes the students, or I'll take some of the students, and we'll walk through the buildings and we'll say, hey, you know what you were trying to draw last week? It's right there. Take a look at it. You know?
Yes. And that's really different.
Yeah. That dashed line you were trying to draw, this is what it's representing. Take a look at it. Put it in your hands. You know, touch it.
Right.
Or, hey, did you realize the thing you were hammering, you know, what you were attaching to, that's exactly what you were struggling with last week. So that is so meaningful. And in fact, it's funny because the first build day that we did, we were working on homes that were built, that were designed by students in a past semester. And that was such a treat for these students, right?
No kidding.
That someone sitting in their very seat at some point in the semester before had designed something that these students were now building, that they can walk through, they could feel, they can touch, that it came to life like magic. Right. And so that was super exciting for them. And there was one student who was just like, I had no idea that I was capable of doing something like that, that I was capable of contributing in a way that made a difference. Like, you know, she can push some lines around on the computer screen, but to see it to come to life, it like ties things together across realms, if you will, and it feels like magic. And so it's super empowering to them. And in that first build, we had a student that had participated in the competition early on or in one of the early semesters, and he had an excellent design. It didn't end up being selected as a winner, but as this opportunity in a later subdivision came along, we found that house to be the best fit for two lots. And so we permitted the set, and we started pouring the foundation, and so then we had our build day. And the student had sort of walked away from Pima. I'm not quite sure what was going on. You know, these things happen.
Right.
And he came back. Like I said, great student. And I was like, hey, where have you, I had no idea. Like, where have you been? I haven't even seen you at school, and you just showed up to this build day. So, you know, if you want to know if it's powerful for students to work on service learning projects, this guy who had been gone for missing for like 8 months, we had not seen him, ends up showing up back for the first time at a build day with Pima students, knowing like he had kept his ears open for this opportunity, right? And so he just shows up and he's there and he's like, we're like, hey, it's so great to see you. Like, you know, how's life? You know, I'm so happy to see you at Pima. Like, I'm so glad you're continuing with your education because you have so much potential, you know? And then I was like, hey, I have a surprise for you. Why don't you walk down the street with me? So the two of us walk down the street. We show up to these poured foundations. There's no walls up. And I say, hey, do you recognize this? And he looks at this like slab of concrete, which, you know, if you've ever seen a slab of concrete, really just looks like a slab of concrete.
I have.
And I was like, yeah. And I was like, hey, so let's walk up to the front door, or where the front door would be. I was like, are you sure you don't recognize this? And he's like, no, not really. I was like, this is your house. And the light bulb just went on. Right?
What did he do?
He's
so awesome.
Lit up. He's like, what? He had no idea. He had no idea. I was like, dude, this is your house. This is what you have been, this is what you conceived of in your mind, that you spent hours upon hours drawing, you know, your blood, sweat, and tears have gone into this. And now it's going to house two families.
You know, unreal, unreal.
For 30 plus years.
Yeah. I got waves of goosebumps. And I just, you know, we could go on and on, but I want to, we can't, we really can't, because I think we covered the territory. And what I want to reflect on is your passion, your commitment, your hanger-onedness, which I have from the boards I'm on. Once you get hooked like you've been hooked, it becomes a lifelong commitment and passion. And Habitat for Humanity, my thoughts, my last words are, first of all, people can go find out all about this by visiting habitattucson.org, and the links are always on our show page. Write up about Carmen will be there. But as I said at the beginning of the show, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. And I don't want to make this about me, but how could I not love this? How could I not love, admire, and respect everything about Habitat for Humanity and the impact they make every day for my community? Not just on that community or with those people, it's our community. And I'm so grateful and love having them in my life. And I love to get to know people like you better. And my last words are, this is the real deal when it comes to fighting poverty in our community, where everybody wins. It's about home ownership. It's about education. This is the quintessence of a successful collaboration. It's about sustainable design. And it's about small homes, which is the direction we need to be going as a world, not just as a Tucson community, because energy costs will go up. Infill is the best thing you can do from a sustainability point, because the infrastructure is there, the lighting is there, the electricity is there. So I think you can tell, Carmen, I thought a lot about it and what it means to me to have the honor of getting your message out and being a part of spreading the good word, because it sure is. And especially, you know, in COVID-19, everything has become more laser sharp focused for me. And I think for lots of people, thinking about what matters and values and all of that stuff. So my heartfelt thanks. Mm-hmm. And I end by saying thank you to our listeners, because without you, there would be no us. And Carmen, I don't know if there's anything else you want to say, but this is we're going off the air and you get the last word.
I think the only thing I would add to this message, and I want to thank you very much for having me on the show, is that in light of COVID-19, I heard someone say something about how important it is how we used to take community for granted, that you basically could just show up. And if you show up enough, then people recognize your face and you're part of a community. Right now, since we can't physically show up and be present, it is harder to be integrated and to be part of that sort of contributing entity. And so now is the time to go out there and be more proactive, be more intentional about how you connect with other people and how you contribute to the greater good. And so there's lots of different ways you can do that. And it's funny because this whole COVID-19 stopped most of our, I mean, it's not funny. It stopped most of our builds, but it didn't stop all of our volunteers. Those right. students in the residential construction documentation course, they have not skipped a beat. They just finished their last presentations on Monday. The committee members were there supporting them, cheering them on. So those volunteers were able to continue giving of themselves in this digital way. And so we didn't have all our volunteers stop. There's still ways to contribute. There's still ways to participate. And it's just a matter of finding what are you passionate about and what can you contribute and making sure that you offer it up to other people.
What a great way to end. I don't want to say anything else other than thank you. And just remember, everybody, stay involved. Our help is needed now more than ever. And if you have anything extra in your budget, consider donating to Habitat Tucson, because it's an investment in your future. That's how I feel. You're doing the right thing and the good thing, but the future you're helping to build is part of yours. So Carmen, thanks. And I can't wait till I see you in person again. And Habitat Tucson, thanks for all you do. Everybody, get engaged. Thanks.